Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate podcast with Clayton Morris. This is the show where we focus on buy and hold real estate. Why do we do it? We do it for the purposes of creating passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family. If you're interested in finding your freedom number, come over to our website at morrisinvest.com/freedom and download your free financial freedom cheat sheet today. Welcome in, everyone, once again to the Investing in Real Estate podcast. I am Clayton Morris. I am humbled today because our Legends series continues here on the podcast. We've been blessed by being able to have Robert Kiyosaki on the show. We've had Ken McElroy on the show, Tom Wheelwright on the show. And today our Legends series continues with another legend in the business. Garrett Sutton is an attorney. He's the best-selling author and one of Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad advisors, a clear and engaging writer. Garrett demystifies all those legal topics and makes your head spin, and he presents in a very understandable and accessible manner. Garrett has over 30 years experience in assisting individuals and businesses to limit their liability and asset protection. We're going to be talking about that today, and asset protection for reaching financial freedom, specifically around real estate and how to make sure that you are protected. Garrett, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Clayton. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, it's an honor to have you back. We had the opportunity to meet in New York City. We were there sitting next to Robert Kiyosaki, Tom Wheelwright, Darren Weeks, Ken McElroy, and it was a wonderful, wonderful time to get to meet you. So my pleasure having you here on the show.
Well, this is great that you're able to provide this kind of information to your listeners. They don't teach this in school. You've got to go get it yourself.
Right. It's amazing. And so many people are left in the lurch. I mean, I'm sure in your profession, you see this all too often. It's got to frustrate you that people just don't know. They need to protect themselves. They need to put certain things in place in order to, you know, make sure that their assets are protected.
Well, too often, Clayton, people learn that lesson about asset protection after something bad has happened. You really, and then it's too late. You really need to take steps now to protect your assets going forward. We're a very litigious society. People sue each other all the time. And as you gain assets, as you build your net worth, you need to think at the very same time how to protect it.
Yeah. You've written about this extensively in a lot of your different works. A couple of them I'll mention here right now. You're the author of Start Your Own Corporation, writing Winning Business Plans, Buying and Selling a Business, Loopholes of Real Estate, Run Your Own Corporation, and the ABCs of Getting Out of Debt, just to name a few. But when you talk about starting your own corporation, I mean, this is something at the very early stages of real estate investing that I knew to do, which was, you know, incorporate, start an LLC, make sure you have those simple things in place at the start before you start diving into real estate investing. How important is that?
It's really important, Clayton. Here's the issue. A lot of people will buy that first piece of real estate and say, you know, I can't afford to incorporate right now or set up an LLC. And it's really not that expensive, but the thing is that then they forget to do it later, and you operate through your business in your own name. You hold title to real estate in your individual name. And if a claim comes, it's brought by someone against the business or a tenant against the real estate, your personal assets are exposed. Everything you own is exposed, and they don't teach this in school. You've got to do this right at the start, because as we mentioned, if you get sued later and it's still in your individual name, everything you have is exposed to that claim.
That's really scary. And it is true, you know, setting up that LLC to buy your first piece of real estate, what would you say? I know we have differing opinions on this. And I know, you know, Tom Wheelwright might say a different strategy for how many properties you should keep in one LLC and the value of that. But do you guys kind of come to an agreement on where you should be with how much of a value you should have in one LLC for protection purposes?
Well, that's a really good question, Clayton, and I leave it up to the individual. My job is to explain the law, explain what the risks are, and then it's up to the individual. If they want to put three properties in one LLC, that's their decision. I will tell them that the best strategy is one property per LLC, but then if they say, well, each property is only worth $5,000, I'm going to put three properties in one LLC. That's their decision, and I will go abide by their decision. Now, that said, I would not recommend putting 10 properties into one LLC. The issue being, of course, if you get sued by a tenant, they will sue the LLC. The LLC owns 10 properties. They can get the equity in all 10 properties when they sue. So I'd rather split it up and maybe only have 3 or 4 properties per LLC. But once again, it's the client's decision.
Yeah. And we've talked about that here on the show. I know Tom Wheelwright in the accounting side of things, that's a different animal. But I think we've kind of put around 3 to 5 properties in one LLC has been kind of our rule of thumb, up to a value of about 150 to 200,000 in one LLC. So that could be any combination of properties shoved in there. But the bottom line is you better have an LLC. You know, if you've got 50 properties, make sure that you're protected across those different LLCs so you're not going to get sued and lose it all.
Right. Right. And so if you had 50 properties and you're in a state like California where it's $800 per year per LLC, you probably wouldn't do 50 LLCs.
Right.
You might do 5. You might do 10. But there are just a lot of factors that go into it. The key is to have at least a few LLCs set up, because 50 properties in your individual name, someone sues over one property, they technically can get the equity in all 50 properties to collect.
Hmm. Yeah, that's scary. So you, in your book, The Loopholes of Real Estate Investing, or Loopholes of Real Estate, when you look at the legal side of it, where are the loopholes? Can we dive into some of that today and talk about some of those protections for people?
Sure. Well, The Loopholes of Real Estate talks about the tax issues, and those are loopholes we want to open up. The tax code gives us these opportunities. Then we talk about the legal loopholes. Those are the ones we want to close so that people can't get at all of our personal assets. So one of the tax loopholes would be depreciation, the ability to write off the value of the building over a period of years to shelter other income. That's a key tax loophole for real estate. A legal loophole to close is this personal liability if you hold title in your individual name. We also go into issues about how to transfer title. A lot of people set up the LLC and they forget to transfer title from their name into the name of the LLC. So you absolutely want to take that step. If you've set up the LLC and title to the property remains in your individual name, you haven't completed the job. You have to have title in the name of the LLC.
Very, very important. Put that on your to-do list. Make sure that's the final step because that'd be a disaster. You get everything set up, you think you're all protected, and you forget to move that over.
Right. Right. And in the book, we also talk about using the right type of deed. You want to use a grant deed or a warranty deed when you transfer the title. People say, well, just use a quitclaim deed. It's easy. And they mispronounce it as quick claim deed, as right. If it's something easy and quick. It's the same, the same amount of work. It's just the quitclaim deed basically says, I'm transferring whatever I may have. I don't know what I have, but I'm giving you what I have. The grant deed is much more powerful. It says, I represent and warrant that I own the property and I'm transferring it to you. And if they don't own the property, then you have a cause of action to go back against them. So as you're buying property from someone, you always want that grant or warranty deed in case there's a problem later on.
Right. And I'm looking at a closing package right now on a property that we're buying. And right inside my hands here in the seller's statement, I'm just paging through this right now so I can make sure that we've got our loopholes covered. Affidavit by owner. I've got my warranty deed right here. So
good.
Warranty deed done well. That's how our title companies that we work with always do it. So that's good to know. What are some other basic tips that people need to know when they're getting involved in real estate investing to protect themselves? What sorts of things can creep up that they might not be aware of?
Well, one of the big things is if you get a loan from a bank and say the bank requires that you take title in your individual name, most banks now know that you're going to transfer title to an LLC. A lot of people are worried that that would trigger a due on sale clause, but you haven't sold the property. You've just transferred it from your name to the name of the LLC. And most banks understand this now. And if you run into a problem, here's the magic language: continuity of obligation. And the issue is the bank still has your personal guarantee on the loan, right?
Ah.
they still have the first deed of trust on the property. That doesn't change when you transfer title from your name into the LLC. There's still a continuity of obligation. And so using that language, usually you're not going to have a problem. Many of my clients will say, well, gosh, I'm afraid to even ask the bank about transferring title. And I say, here's what you do. You're going to pay your monthly mortgage with a check drawn from an LLC bank account, right? The bank accepts that LLC check. They're waiving their rights. The other thing is, you know, when you get down to it, is it better to ask for permission or forgiveness?
Right.
And, you know, I would always say forgiveness. You know, if they come back at you, there's plan B. We do have a way to deal with it. But I just don't see, Clayton, banks coming back and closing on a performing loan because it's held in the name of an LLC.
Well, I want to dive into this. This is fantastic, Garrett, because for the first time on this show, we can actually have a clear, sort of deeper understanding of this. We've had loan officers on the show before, and what they've told me is in like 15 years of doing mortgages, they'll do Fannie and Freddie mortgages. You know, these are federal mortgages. They've said, I've only ever seen them call a due on sale clause one time. And when they did it, all they did was ask the owner to transfer it back to their own name. They were still performing on the note because at the end of the day, as this loan officer said, they don't want to foreclose. It's right. Expensive. It's costly. Talk about that side of it. The banks don't want to own real estate. They hate owning real estate.
Right. After what they've been through with over the last 10 years, I mean, they do not want to foreclose on a performing loan. So they're not going to call it. In all my years, Clayton, I've only seen it happen once. There is a plan B. You transfer it back into your individual name. We have a land trust that looks a lot like a living trust. The land trust is in turn owned by an LLC. There's a way to skin the cat. Now, I have to make clear, and we talk about this in Loopholes of Real Estate, the land trust offers no asset protection. And there are a lot of promoters out there who insist that land trusts are the best things in sliced bread. They're not. They do not protect you like an LLC will. But in the case of the very rare case where the bank says you got to transfer it back to your individual name, a land trust can be useful.
That is really important to know. I know a lot of investors that will talk about using land trusts and think that that is like some sort of holy grail. I've never done a land trust, but that is valuable information. Stay away from them if you think that you're going to be protected. That is great advice. I want to talk a little bit more about this due on sale clause because this opens up a world for people, Garrett, because most people think I'm not going to be able to get a loan because I have an LLC. I'm buying it in an LLC. So what would you advise people? Maybe they want to get a loan from like Fannie and Freddie on an investment property. And now it opens up a world where they're able to get 10 of them in their own name. They can then transfer them to their LLC. Can we talk a little bit about that uniqueness?
Yeah, I mean, with the FHA loans, they're the ones that came up with the term continuity of obligation. They recognize this. So the thing is, you take title in your individual name. That's what the lenders want to see. Then you can transfer title into the name of the LLC. There's one more little wrinkle here, Clayton, that's really important. When you have insurance on the property, typically it starts in your name. Right? Because you take right. title in your name. But you want the insurance to be under the name of the LLC, right? There was a case in Los Angeles that we learned of where someone had taken title in their individual name, transferred it into an LLC, but didn't tell the insurance company. And when title was in the LLC and there was a fire, the insurance company said, well, we don't have to cover this claim. We insured you, not the LLC. So they play those games. And what they'll do also is say, look, we will insure it in your name, but if you transfer it into an LLC, that's a business entity, and we have to charge you more for insurance. Well, that's nonsense. The risk is the same. It's a duplex, whether it's in your name or in the name of an LLC. So here's how you skin the cat. When you transfer title into the name of the LLC, you tell the insurance company that you've transferred title, and that if when they come to you and say, well, that's going to cost more, here's what you say. You say, look, leave the insurance in my name, but let's list the LLC as an additional insured. And that way you get to have the insurance premium in your name at a theoretically lower cost. But if there's a claim against the property, the LLC is also an additional insured.
Wow. That's fantastic. That's a great, great tip.
Today's episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter.com. Are you hiring right now? And seriously, if you want to put on your business suit right here, because a lot of you out there have employees and you have to hire people on a regular basis. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 200 plus job boards, including social networks, all with a single click. It's amazing. You can then screen, you can rate, and you can hire the candidate fast. So, you know, your company is made of people, and it's something that you have to make sure that you do is hire the right employee. Because if you hire the wrong person for your team, it can send your company, you know, to the ground. The wrong hire is probably where you can have the most trouble. So you want to make sure you're hiring the right people. And ZipRecruiter.com makes it so easy. You can search for a job, but you can also post a job. You can post one job to ZipRecruiter.com, and it goes more than 200 job boards. They've also expanded it to Twitter and Facebook. So the idea is you want to get that job listing in front of the most number of people as possible, because the right person is where your company can expand and can explode. So you can broadcast this job as widely as possible. You can even create like a Q&A questionnaire, multiple choice essay questions, yes or no questions. So your job candidate has to answer those questions and screen them the appropriate way. So you can eliminate the people that don't match, and you can quickly find the right person for your business. And it's, you know, it's a fantastic time to think about hiring for your business. There are millions of companies out there. Some of the biggest companies in the world are using ZipRecruiter, and so does our company. So you can post a job, watch the candidates roll in, no more juggling emails, no more juggling calls. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/investing. That's ZipRecruiter.com/investing. One more time. Try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/investing right now, where you can post your jobs for free. Thanks, ZipRecruiter.
So the idea of these FHA loans now being opened up to investors in a way that they didn't think they could before, they transfer ownership to the LLC. There's usually, I think either it was at Dodd-Frank, there's like a 10 property limit that you're able to get right now, but that may be changing under this law. Is that is under Donald Trump, that seems to be falling apart and fracturing. So it may move up to 20 properties per person that they're able to buy. I think that's some of the rumblings we're hearing, right?
Right. Right. So you just have to follow what the current law is. And then if you have those 10 properties, hopefully you can get other financing because you've got a lot of properties.
You know? Now, how does that work? And this may be off topic a little bit, or maybe outside of your area of expertise on the legal side. But if I own 10 properties I bought in my own name, then I transfer them to LLCs, technically they're not under my name anymore. Does that free up another 10 that I'm able to buy?
I would think it would not, because you are the owner of the LLC.
Gotcha.
So, you know, but having 10 LLCs that hold real estate shows good credit to not an FHA lender, but a traditional bank.
Right.
So you're still, I have plenty of clients that they've never been stopped by that rule of 10. They just keep going.
Right.
And so other people are doing it. You can too.
Now let's talk about some of the deeper protections for your real estate. So if you've got your LLC set up, let's talk a little bit about holding companies or the way in which LLCs might report up to a holding company that would protect you at an umbrella level, perhaps even in a different state where your other properties are located. Is there some other level of protection that people could have beyond just that basic protection?
That's a great question, Clayton. And that's what we talk about in Loopholes of Real Estate. You do want to have LLCs in the state where the property is located, right? So say you have a Utah LLC and a South Carolina LLC. You'll have a property in Utah in the Utah LLC. You'll have the property in South Carolina in the South Carolina LLC. Then we like to have those two LLCs owned by one Wyoming LLC. And the advantage there is if you get in a car wreck, for example, it has nothing to do with the Utah or South Carolina property, but the car wreck victim would like to get at those assets By having the two LLCs that hold property be owned by the one Wyoming holding LLC, we have great asset protection. Wyoming says the exclusive remedy is the charging order, which is really a lien on distributions. They can't come in and force a sale of the two properties. They have to wait until distributions are made from the Wyoming LLC to the owner. And that is a great protective strategy that we use in a lot of cases. Now, the advantage of Wyoming, like Nevada, it has the best asset protection law for LLCs in the country. They protect even single member LLCs. That's the exclusive remedy, is the charging order. Secondly, with Wyoming, they don't list your name on the state internet, on the state's website. So you have privacy there. And thirdly, the annual fee to the state of Wyoming is only $50 a year. And so you have to look at these LLCs as insurance policies, and adding that one Wyoming LLC as the holding entity for your other LLCs around the country is really a great and successful strategy.
Wow, that's the answer to one, because that's what we did. We set up a holding company in Wyoming that our individual LLCs report to as pass-through LLCs. And when people ask us why, I knew that there was great asset protection, but I didn't know that it was that. Holy smokes. I mean, there's a level of protection there that's remarkable. And if you're a passive income, if you're taking passive income, then you're not drawing a salary from that holding company. So therefore, the distribution that someone would try to go after would just basically sit in that account, right? I mean, how would that work?
Absolutely. Or you could, in our example, you may not have Utah or South Carolina make distributions to Wyoming. They may keep it within that LLC and do improvements or whatever they want. So you control the spigot. And you may not even make distributions down to Wyoming.
Interesting. And so it really becomes lawsuit proof in a way, because now a lawyer is looking at that saying, well, we've got to now sue you in Utah, and we've got to try to also then sue you in Wyoming for the same case. And it's two different lawsuits, right?
Well, they would typically go after the Wyoming LLC in
first.
The car wreck case.
Oh,
yeah,
gotcha.
They would just go for that. And then they would have to, you know, the strategies we use, they would have to go to Wyoming to try and get a court order there. The court order in Wyoming, you've got to hire a Wyoming attorney. The court order is that they are entitled to the charging order, but that's it. But here's the key point, Clayton, is attorneys who are going after car wreck cases, they know how to get an insurance, right? So I always recommend that people have adequate levels of insurance. They have an umbrella policy of insurance for $1 million. It's only $400 a year for an extra $1 million in coverage. The attorneys know how to get at insurance money. They're not very good at getting at these LLC interests. And so the attorney that can go after insurance is going to leave you alone on your other LLCs.
This is a game changer. you think you know some things, man. You've blown my mind today and really, really helped educate us a lot. I love that idea of the umbrella insurance policy. Again, that's something we just implemented in our own business, the umbrella insurance policy. How would you advise individuals to structure the umbrella insurance policy? Could you explain that a little bit more for people?
Sure. Well, typically when you have your home and automobile with the same insurance company, State Farm or Farmers, they want to be able to cover you on both home and auto. Then you ask your broker about getting an umbrella policy. And like the image of an umbrella, it kind of extends over your car and auto and other areas. It just gives you more coverage. And so if you get in that horrific car wreck, you've got an extra $1 million for the attorney to reach to pay for the car wreck victim's injuries. Now, if you have $10 million in assets, does it make sense to have a $10 million umbrella policy? That's a judgment call. But I do have some clients who will get a $10 million policy. And again, it's only $400 per million in coverage. So this is not expensive coverage. You also have to factor in what state you're in. A state like California that's very litigious, has high jury verdict awards, you may want to get a little bit more umbrella coverage than, say, if you lived in North Dakota, where the people don't sue as much.
Are there any other big loopholes or areas that you would recommend if someone's just getting started with real estate investing that they should look to protect themselves?
Well, another great strategy is if you have a house, you can protect it with what's called a homestead exemption. And that is really affordable asset protection. It's a filing you make with the county. In some states, it's automatic. But for example, in Texas and Florida, the equity in your house is protected by the homestead. So if someone sues you later and wants to get at the equity in your house, in Florida and Texas and Kansas, they can't. It's protected for the benefit of the homeowner. And we talk about this in the book, Loopholes of Real Estate. Nevada, for example, where I live, the homestead is $550,000. So if you have a $1 million house with a $450,000 first on it, and you file the homestead with the county, it's a form you can get at Office Depot. You fill it out. It costs $20 to file it with the county. You file that homestead exemption. In our Nevada example, a creditor can't reach the equity in your house because the bank has first dibs on the $450,000. But with the homestead, you've claimed second dibs for the remainder for your benefit against a later creditor. So that is really good asset protection and very affordable.
Can you do that with investment properties or just primary residence?
Good question. You only get one homestead and it's for your primary residence. So let's say you had a primary residence in Florida and California. You only get to pick one. Hmm. And you'd probably pick Florida because it's unlimited and California is only 100,000.
That's fantastic. I'm doing that today. I'm going to run down to the home, the Office Depot and get that for you. Have to look into it. I don't know if you can do that in the state of New Jersey or not. Like, can you do it in every state?
New Jersey's pretty low. Pennsylvania doesn't have one. Some of the eastern states are pretty low in terms of the dollar amount. Hmm. And so if you have $1 million in equity and, you know, say New Jersey's 15,000, you would then look at an LLC to protect it some equity stripping, which we also talk about.
Can you do an LLC for your primary residence or no? There's nothing you can do as it relates to your primary.
You can do an LLC for your primary residence, but there's some extra steps. So title to the home is in the LLC. Then you have to make a payment every month to the LLC who pays all the expenses. So you have to take some extra steps.
Huh. And is there any benefit of doing it that way, having your primary residence in an LLC?
Oh, for some people there is. If someone sues, they've got to fight through an LLC instead of having title in your individual name. So it depends on if you are in a state with good homestead protection. That's your first way to protect it. The LLC or the equity stripping, where we have a Wyoming LLC extend a line of credit and get a second or first deed of trust back. We also talk about that in Loopholes of Real Estate. Is another way to go, as is having the LLC. So we do have some options for people.
That's great. My head is spinning, Garrett.
Sorry about that.
No, this is great stuff. I love learning, and I'm gonna be grabbing Natalie, my wife, here in just a little bit, and saying we've got to do this, we've got to do that, we've got to do that. So that's when I know it's been a great, great interview, when I've got a lot of action items that I've written down here on my notepad that I'm gonna do immediately when I get done talking with you. So
good.
Garrett, great stuff, great stuff. How can people learn more about everything you're currently working on, and how can people get your latest book? And tell us about the latest book, by the way.
Okay, well, they can reach me at corporatedirect.com. We also offer a free 15-minute consult with paralegals about your specific situation. So they can call 800-600-1760 and get a free 15-minute consult. The latest book, Clayton, is the one that you were so nice to feature on Fox and Friends, and that is called More Important Than Money, An Entrepreneur's Team, which Robert Kiyosaki and the Rich Dad Advisors wrote. It comes out July 4th, and we're pretty excited about it. It's a lot of great information in one book.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it, and I want to make sure that our audience gets a chance to buy that book and check out everything else that Garrett's been working on. We're going to have links to everything that we talked about in today's show notes page, but I definitely want you to go over and check out Loopholes of Real Estate. I'm going to put that on our website as one of our one of the books that we highly recommend that people check out, the Loopholes of Real Estate book, will be a will sit as a first-class citizen now on morrisinvest.com.
Well, so, thank you.
Garrett, great to have you here on the show. Thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with the book, and hopefully we can connect again soon. We can deep dive some more things with limited liability companies and other great strategies.
Great. Thank you, Clayton.
Thank you, Garrett. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. We just passed the 4 million download mark. So thank you very much for making this one of the most successful business podcasts in iTunes. And thanks to all of your kind feedback. Here's what I would love for you to do today, if you could, which would be to send me an email. I would love to hear one little nugget that you took away from Garrett's interview today, even if it was just one thing that you wanted to take action on immediately. Just send me an email, clayton@morrisinvest.com. I would love to hear your kind feedback. Now, this show publishes 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We will be back on Monday with another episode of the Investing in Real Estate podcast. For now, go out there, take action, become a real estate investor, and protect your assets, like Garrett says. Much love to you all. We'll see you next time, everyone.